Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. On the InvestUSA.org microphone, this is Lock and Load, and now we're going to be speaking with writer Dean Weingarten from Amaland.com. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing very well, thank you.
I asked Dean a question over the weekend. I called him, I think, Friday or Saturday. I don't know what day it was. And we started talking about There's this substrata of humanity out there, Dean, that just absolutely thinks that you should only ever, if a bear's coming at you, you should only have bear spray, right?
I've seen that. It's been a very active sales campaign.
Is
if you go on the internet, you can find dozens, hundreds of articles.
Right.
About how wonderful bear spray is, and you find very little about how firearms work better, and a lot of it is what I've written. And it's very similar to the whole climate change in a much reduced scale.
Right.
I mean, the studies about how effective bear spray are not really scientific. They have a lot of bias in them, and they are misread a lot in ways to make them sound much more important than they are. So while that is touted out there, if you look at the actual data, you find it's far different.
Well, I mean, and you mentioned the climate change thing. The other thing that I find interesting is that aren't they reintroducing a lot of wolves and bears and mountain lions and all these other places into these habitats, I guess under some guise of, well, you know, we're just bringing it back to where it used to be or something. Aren't they reintroducing all these predators?
It's a silly premise.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. There is a sort of neo-pagan religion out there.
Right.
That holds that essentially we should worship nature as they define it, and that somehow we should accept large predators in our communities because they think it's a good idea. I mean, that's all.
In the backyard.
There is no logical reason to say we should, other than unless people want large predators in their communities. What it appears to me is that there's a segment of the population that is emotionally driven to adore certain mammals,
okay,
like wolves or bears. And they see cutesy depictions of these mammals in movies and on television that are mostly fake and hide much of the real attributes of the animals. And then they are told that these animals are at risk, and if we don't bring them back to areas which we got rid of them from about 100 years ago, that there's a problem.
Right.
And they even claim that it's necessary to bring these animals back in order to get some kind of nature which they like better than the nature that exists now. I mean, there is no balance in nature. Let's just state that right up front.
Right.
Nature is in constant flux. It's some species come, they go. Other species come, they go. Habitats change. the population levels between various species go up and down in fairly unpredictable ways.
Right.
Climate and the plant species change at all. I mean, it was only a few thousand years ago where you didn't have any trees along most of the Pacific Northwest. It was all under ice.
Right. Well, I mean, I've read somewhere that 99% of the species that have ever walked the earth are extinct.
Yes, that's probably correct.
Yeah.
It's hard to make an exact quantification because the fossil record is not complete.
Right.
We don't even have a good estimate of how many species are on the earth right now.
Right.
They're constantly discovering new insect species, occasionally a new fish or frog. How many species are out there at any one time is hard to be certain of. And part of this is because the activists are constantly changing what the definition of a species is. And there's a reason to do this. The more species you can define, the more spaces you can claim need to be served by endangered species protections.
Right.
So if you could say, well, I've got a grizzly bear here, but it's a subalpine California northern grizzly over there, and in Idaho it's a subalpine northern grizzly in pine habitat, and even though the genetics make it essentially the same animal, but you've defined separate species in different areas, you can leverage that into political power. So there is a strong motivation for activists keep splitting species into more and more subgroups so they can use them to their political advantage.
That's, thinking about it.
So,
I mean,
but in terms of bear spray there's only a couple of papers that actually tried to quantify how useful bear spray is.
Right.
And what really the two are just one and a slight extension to it. The one is efficacy of bear deterrent spray in Alaska by Tom Smith and Stephen Herrero, and it was published in 2006. I have to check here, and I'll be able to tell you. But it was published, about 15 to 20 years ago, and there are a lot of things about it that people don't realize. And one of them was that it involved a very small number of cases. The actual number of events that were studied were 71. And these were only events in which bear spray was sprayed. They did not include events where bear spray was not sprayed. Now, that makes sense. I mean, to me, it makes sense that why would you include an event when bear spray wasn't used if you're trying to figure out whether bear spray works or not?
Right.
So they only included events where bear spray was sprayed, and there's 71 of them. Now, of those 71, 21 were where bear management specialists went out looking for bears and sprayed them with bear spray. Usually in parks or research settings, something like that. We don't know most of the details of these settings because Smith and Herrero refused to release their data.
Right.
So we get little bits and pieces that you can get from looking at the charts and the numbers used in the study, but they don't tell you critical pieces of information. For example, we know that there were 4 failures
Hang
of
on.
Bear spray.
Hang on right there. We're coming up on the first break talking about bear spray. Is it good? Is it bad? How good is it? We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Mm-hmm.
such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
And welcome back on the InvestUSA.org microphone. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about the efficacy of bear spray, which seems to be, I see a lot of parallels with the bear spray in the same way. You know, they're introducing all of these species back into what essentially works out to be the backyard in some cases, right?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, and then they want
for
you to
some
get
people, it is.
Yeah, and
the major people who are in support of introducing these species are people who do not live where they're being introduced.
Right.
And from what I've seen, it's mainly urban women who support policies.
Right.
And it's mainly people who live where these animals are being reintroduced who don't support them. Now, I was talking about the original study on bear spray. It's called Efficacy of Bear Deterrent Spray in Alaska by Tom Smith and Stephen Herrera.
Right.
And one of the co-authors is J.M. Wilder. Wilder happens to be the editor of the journal in which this study was published. So there's a little bit of conflict of interest there. So there were only 71 cases that they looked at. And of those 71, at least, well, 21 of them were cases where people in bear management went out to look for bears and then sprayed them. Now, that's a lot different than somebody in the woods with a bear coming at them that they didn't know was there. So the number of cases is fairly small, and they only looked at cases where bear spray was sprayed. And that makes sense to me. Why would you look at cases where bear spray was not sprayed if you're trying to figure out whether bear spray works or not? So we're looking at relatively small number of cases, most of them in parks. I think there was only one case that involved a hunter. About 23 or 4 of them were hikers. So it's a small number of cases, only where bear spray was sprayed, and they had a few failures. They had about, I think, 4 failures out of the 71 cases, and they also mostly had non-aggressive bears. Aggressive
right.
grizzly bears were only 14 of the 71 cases. So it's a subgroup, and it's a fairly small sample, and it has almost no hunters in it. So then, a few years later, oh, and the timing was it was from 1985 to 2006. I was a little off on the timing. 1985 to 2006. Then they did an update on this study it was published in 2018. And the update was part of human bear conflicts, 1880 to 2015. So the original study only went through 2006. In the additional 9 years, well, let's see, it'd be 2007, yeah, after 2015, 9 years, they only found 4 more cases. So in the update, they went from 71 cases to 75 cases. Now, this just seems a little odd to me, because bear spray was becoming more and more popular all this time. And yet, you go from 71 cases in the initial study to only 4 more over 9 years? I mean, I haven't looked to see what bear spray cases I can find in those 9 years, but I suspect I will find more than 4. And of those bear spray cases, they had another failure, and with that, they claim the efficacy of the bear spray was to alter the behavior of aggressive bears, is how they put it, was 93%. Okay, and it's a very limited study, but that's what they're claiming. 93.3%. Now, I looked at claims all over the Internet say bear spray is 98% effective. Well, where do they get that number from? What they do is they look at how many people were injured in the 71 cases, or the 74. In the 74, there were four injuries. And then they look at how many people were involved. And some of these bear spray incidents involve a fairly large group of people, maybe 10 or 15 people. And you have a bear spray, and then the bear runs away and doesn't injure anybody. So they add up all the people that were involved in all these incidents, and they come up with a number of around 200, I think. And they say, well, there were only four people injured out of 200 and some involved. Therefore, bear spray is 98% effective. Even though in the incidents of 71 incidents, of which 21 were management sprays of bears they were harassing, they had four failures. So how can you get from four or five failures for 75, of which I think we should exclude the 21 cases of management where a professional is going out and spraying a bear under controlled circumstances.
Right.
I mean, after all, if you have a park professional go out and shoot a bear that's a problem bear, would you rate that as a successful defense of using firearms? I wouldn't.
No. That's sort of a staged thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. I tell you what, hold on right there. We're coming up on the next break. I didn't get a chance to, give you the proper accolade that you get. Dean, of course, Dean Weingarten, he is a outspoken defender of the right to keep and bear arms and an accomplished writer and reporter for Ammoland Shooting Sports News and his blog, gunwatch.blogspot.com. In addition to being the most prolific writer on the biggest website of its kind, that being Ammoland.com, with over 2,400 articles waiting for you at Ammoland. This one straight off of the page, the last of the, well, this actually is an open discussion. We're just making this up. You can only get it here. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to chamberscustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Darren Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the Weapons of Wit, now featuring the new Pit Viper. Darren is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at DarrenTactical.com.
USA News Update. Pro-Palestinian protests continue on college campuses. Early Thursday morning, Los Angeles police cleared an encampment on UCLA's campus, resulting in the arrest of over 100 people. Meanwhile, Columbia University has announced that all classes and finals will be conducted remotely. The lawyer who represented the two women central to Donald Trump's New York trial denies any involvement in a hush money scheme. Keith Davidson, who represented both Playboy model Karen McDougal and adult film store Stormy Daniels, stated that the $130,000 $1,000 payment to Daniels wasn't intended as hush money to influence the 2016 election. On the stand, he emphasized it wasn't a payoff, it wasn't hush money, it was consideration. A lawsuit filed by an Oregon-based group of climate activists against the U.S. government has been dismissed by a U.S. appeals court. The group had argued the government's energy policies violated their rights to be protected from climate change. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load on the InvestUSA.org microphone, talking to Dean Weingarten from AmmoLand.com, talking about bear spray.
Yeah, did you want to talk about polar bears? Because I think they're a special case that's worth talking about.
Well, let's talk about that. Because now, as insofar as if we're going to rank the bears by how well they take the bear spray, is a polar bear any more resistant to bear spray than a grizzly bear, a Kodiak bear?
We don't know, but the circumstances in which polar bears live means that it's much harder to effectively deploy bear spray on a polar bear than it is on most black bears or grizzly bears. Now, between black bears and grizzly bears, it appears bear spray is a little more effective on grizzly bears than on black bears.
Okay.
For whatever reason, black bears seem to be more resistant. Perhaps because if they've decided to be aggressive toward a human, it's usually a predatory attack, and so they're willing to take a little bit of pain in order to pursue a predatory attack. But even with grizzly bears, it's nothing near 100%. Now, we found that after the iteration the paper that was published in 2018, which updated some of the original paper published in 2008, the total numbers are small. So it's hard to get really good data, but there's some out there. And we're looking at about roughly a 93% effective rate for the bear spray from those numbers, which are in very different circumstances than what they did for firearms. But we're talking about polar bears. As far as I can tell, of the original 71 incidents, there were two subadult polar bears involved. And what happened is that there were a couple of researchers in a truck at, I think it was a beached whale or some other food source, and these two curious subadult polar bears approach this truck where these two researchers are in, and they roll down the window and spray the polar bears with bear spray. And the polar bears go away. And this is counted as two incidents of successful bear spray on polar bears, and it's the only incident involving polar bears, and the study says the bear spray is 100% effective on polar bears. Now, that sounds like quite a stretch to me.
Yeah.
Well, very limited circumstance.
Now, was the wind blowing?
I don't know, but that's another potential serious problem with bear spray.
Right.
There have been a number of cases where the wind renders bear spray ineffective. And Tom Smith, I have to give him credit, he did a paper and some experimentation on the effect of wind and temperature on bear spray and aging, too. It's a nice little paper. I think he did a pretty good experimental design with it, and I'll give him credit for doing this work. I mean, they had some old bear spray they tried. They tried the bear spray at different temperatures, and they tried various winds. And what they found was, if there's much wind, the range of the bear spray is extremely limited. You know, to the about 6 to 10 feet, maybe 6 to 12 feet. If there's much crosswind, it's really limited. If there's much headwind, it's really limited. If there's a tailwind, it can be extended. But the wind affects bear spray quite a bit. And when Tom Smith, in a interview, was asked about this, he said, well, what about wind effects? He says, well, you know, most of the really dangerous bear encounters occur in dense forests, and you don't have much wind. And he said, anyway, it'll reach 6 feet, so just wait until the bear is within 6 feet of you and then spray it in the face. Doesn't make sense.
No, so I guess my question is, do we have any instances where we've waited till the bear gets within 6 feet, and then the bear does get within 6 feet, and the bear gets sprayed, and the bear just keeps coming? Have we had one of those?
Yeah, there's a number of instances. There have been a number of incidents where people have been badly mauled after using bear spray as much as the manufacturers require. I mean, almost perfect uses of bear spray, and they still get severely mauled.
Right.
One of the most obvious of these is Todd Orr. But we've had enough experience with bear spray now to get a number of fatalities where bear spray has been used. And I think that's probably the best measure of how effective a deterrent is. If you use bear spray and somebody still gets killed, well, it didn't really do its job. If you use a handgun, if you fire a handgun,
right,
and somebody still gets killed, well, it's there. Well, I have data from 1890 just to present. About 100 right now, the update will be coming out soon, and it'll be 192 cases where we know that a handgun was fired in defense against bears, and we can document it and give you a date and give you a place. We give you people involved. And usually there's a little synopsis of what happened. Well, we only have one case where it was handgun only, you know, not handgun and a rifle or handgun and a crossbow or handgun and a automobile. We only have one case where it was just a handgun involved where somebody was killed. And that was somebody, a group of people actually, using a .22 caliber handgun in defense against a polar bear up in Svalbard Island in 1995. That's it. We have one case. From 2003 until 2023, we have 8 cases where bear spray was used, and during those 8 cases, 9 people were killed in that much shorter time frame. To me, that indicates that bear spray is not as effective as handguns in stopping bear attacks. Now, what's hard to know is how many people are actually using bear spray and how many people are actually using handguns, because there's a large selection of bias that you have to overcome. It's very difficult to overcome. And the selection bias is that if a bear is threatening somebody and they shoot it and it runs off and nothing else happens, they don't usually report it. If a black bear is acting aggressive to somebody and they spray it and it runs off, it doesn't usually get reported. So most successful uses of weapon systems to defend against bears are not reported. So the numbers we look at are almost certainly at the low end of what is possible for effectiveness of these weapon systems.
Well, hang on right there, if you will, coming up on the last break. Now, this discussion is all based upon many articles that Dean has written, and I was just asking questions the other day simply because I look at this, and I mean, I see so many parallels to them introducing all of these animals back into areas where they could hurt people. And at the same time, they're trying to dictate what kind of way you defend yourself against it. And I'm just sort of just makes me wonder. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 0523. 800-284-0523.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Thank you. 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Last time on the firing line, on the InvestUSA.org microphone, this is Lock and Load, talking to Paul Markle from Student of the Gun. Just came off of this class and everything, and the reason I've been asking him all these questions is recently a lot of people have been talking about this thing that's referred to as the offensive handgun concept, which is basically, in my way of understanding, where you would actually undertake offensive operations with your sidearm versus your long gun. And I'm sure there's a whole host of reasons, but primarily because that's what you have on you. Now, Mr. Markle, if you would be so kind, are we getting a little too much in the weeds with some of the details on this where we get out there and say, well, of course, you may have to employ the offensive handgun concept because you may have to do offensive operations with the handgun. Shouldn't we just be going, oh, okay, now we got to shoot and move and train that way?
Yeah, we really do ourselves a disservice, I think, I guess that's just one way of thinking about it. You know, that I wrote an article years ago called The Failed Strategy of Defense, and I won't get into it now, but essentially, you know, we delude ourselves as Americans in this idea that we're only allowed to use a gun if we're defending ourselves, and defense comes after. You know, people say ridiculous things like, you will shoot fire only if fired upon, you know,
right?
Never throw the first punch, you know, yada yada. You probably heard that growing up,
right?
And the people who say never throw the first punch in a fight, so if Chuck Liddell becomes angry with me, or you know, Mike Tyson, or you fill in the blank, becomes cross with me, I should let them hit me first and then react after they've hit me. You know, if Tyson or Liddell or, you know, fill in the blank hits me first, I may not get, that might be it.
Well, won't the reaction be unconsciousness?
Yeah, the reaction is going to be unconscious or broken jaw. You know, and this fire only if fired upon. So what you're saying is you're betting that the person who's going to fire on you isn't going to kill you immediately. So we get wrapped around the axle with this defense offense. You know, the fact of the matter is, as a civilized nation and, you know, as a society, we have basic rules about the use of deadly force. And as long as we understand those rules, you know, what's legal, moral, and justifiable, as long as we understand those rules, we can call it whatever we want. I mean, we can call it Rumpelstiltskin gunfighting if you want, but the fact of the matter is, the function is the same. And see, that's where I think we kind of lose it, where people are like, well, in a defensive handgun class, we're going to shoot the gun like this. We're going to hold it like this, and we're going to aim it like this. But in an offensive gun, you know, I would be really curious as to how the actual technique of holding, shooting, you know, reloading, loading, whatever, differs. How does it differ? I mean, the problem is still the problem. The problem is that there's a humanoid monster that wants me to die,
right?
And I want to make that not happen. So this is how I'm going to hold the gun. I mean, fundamental marksmanship is fundamental marksmanship. The gun doesn't know whether there's a piece of cardboard downrange or a piece of steel or a human that's trying to kill me. The gun doesn't know the difference. The bullet's going to fly the same. The gun's going to function the exact same, whether there's cardboard downrange or, you know, a 280-pound lunatic who wants to split my skull open.
Right.
So what's the difference?
Well, I guess, see, for me, the way I shoot and the reason I shoot the way I shoot is because I do not believe in a fair fight. And if I get the idea that somebody is shooting at me and they miss, well, thanks for pure dumb luck. But at the same time, let's make sure that they don't get a second chance to miss. And that's my approach. But, I mean, the other thing about my approach is that I'm thinking that I have to have a combination of speed and accuracy to make this work with a little movement built into it. And that's about it. I need to understand how to use cover and concealment. I need to understand the difference between those two things. And train to the limits that my physical body will let me go. Right. And,
yep.
But getting out there and starting to put all these labels on it, to me, that sort of begins to, muddy the water, if you will. Like one of the guns that gets brought up in the first idea of the offensive handgun concept was the Roland Special. Do you remember that one?
No, remind me.
So this was a gun with an optic, which every gun has an optic now, and it had a flashlight, and it had a flashlight now, and it had a compensator on it. And the only thing, it was a Glock 19. And they made the Roland Special, and to that end, part of it is that you're adding attributes to the gun that make it easier to shoot the gun in an offensive manner. But wouldn't training with it on a regular basis negate the need? Isn't it fewer parts better off, simpler is better off?
Yeah, you know, I mean, can you shoot better with a red dot optic than with iron sights? Yes, you can. Do you have to have it? No, you don't. But you know, if you have the skills, and then that's, brother, this is where we always end up as Americans. We try to make up for a lack of skill by buying crap to screw onto our guns.
Right.
You know, we believe that if we screw enough crap onto our guns, that will make up for a lack of skill, practice, training, whatever. And that's never the case. It's just an expensive range toy. So first, get the skill. Develop the skill. Master the tool. And then if you want to put a red dot on it, great. If you want to put a light on it, great. You know, if you want to put a compensator on it, you're not a very smart human and you don't understand physics regarding a handgun. But get the skill first, get the training,
right.
Develop the skill, and then you'll have, you know, the real knowledge and understanding on what should go on a gun.
Right.
But,
yeah. Well, you know, my thought is that you get to a point of diminishing returns with some things. You could put plenty of things on a gun, right? And some may yield some sort of but once you stop gaining percentages of edge mechanically on it, it all really comes back down to who's behind the gun, right? I mean, somebody like you, if the only gun in the room is a high point, you're going to grab the high point and go out there and start, and you're going to use the skill set that you use on other guns besides high point and go with that and just deal with that, because it's always been about the guy behind the gun, right?
Absolutely. We used to encounter that all the time when I was working with the military and they had to shoot M9 Berettas. And, you know, guys would come up, men would come out there and they're like, oh, well, if I had my burp, you know, my Kimber, if I had my this, if I had this, I'd be doing way better, you know, because they're shooting a target and it looks like they're patterning buckshot.
Right.
And they tell me, oh, if I had my Kimber, I'd be doing way better. No, you wouldn't. Stop lying. No, you wouldn't. Use the tool that you've got and make it work and quit looking for excuses. Well, that, I guess that makes me mean.
Well, I mean, I learned this the hard way. I mean, when I was in my ascendancy of trying to learn how to shoot video, I kept wanting to buy the latest camera that came out. And then I came to this point where I said, well, it's not about the camera. It's about me. It's about what technique and how do I shoot and how do I set it up and how do I light it. And there's a, it's all about the approach with the tool. The tool is a very small consideration in my mind's eye. So.
Yep. Brother, as a photographer, do you remember the brand Yashica?
I do, but that'll be a conversation we have to have for another day. Are you shooting film now? Is that what you're telling me? Are you shooting film?
No, that was my first SLR.
Okay.
Yashica.
Okay, yeah. Well, those were the good old days when we had Yashica and, you know, Nikon was really big and Canon was big, and some of them are still here and some of them are not. Studentofthegun.com. You need to go check that out. Thank you for taking the time to join me today, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Back again in 21 hours. Between now and then, remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.